This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
Today, of course, is the 50th anniversary of the Tate LoBianco murders, and there is a book out, Manson Exposed, a reporter's 50-year journey into madness and murder. And I want to welcome to the program the author of that book, Ivor Davis. Mr. Davis, you have covered this case from day one, longer than any other journalist ever covered the Manson murders.
That's correct, because I was there from day one, and I'm still here. I mean, I've covered it from the beginning, through the trial, through the parole hearings, through interviewing everybody, through the ridiculousness of what's happened and how it's stayed in our memories.
And obviously, 50 years, we're talking about it again, not only because of the 50th anniversary, but also Quentin Tarantino's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I saw it, I enjoyed it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's not a documentary. It's not a true story. I mean, the name is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's not telling the true story of what actually happened.
You're absolutely right, Rich. You see, I mean, Once Upon a Time, it's a fairy story, but it's a grim fairy story. It's a funny fairy story. And it's not the truth. And to be honest with you, if you want the truth, then you should read my book.
Let's talk about the truth here, because from my perspective, I'll just tell you from a layman's perspective of not knowing much, what I heard was that Charles Manson and his cult followers did these murders because they wanted to start a race war known as Helter Skelter.
That was the story, and believe it or not, the prosecutor, Vince Bugliosi, actually said that to the jury, and the jury believed it. But in my opinion, that wasn't the real reason. The Beatles were not to blame for inciting any kind of murder or any kind of race war. I mean, it was just crazy, but it didn't happen that way.
So what was the real reason then that Charles Manson told the killers, and go through that if you would, who actually did the killing that night with Sharon Tate and her friends?
Well, what happened was on August the 9th, 1969, Charles Tex Watson was sent out from the Spahn movie ranch where the Manson family lived, and with Tex Watson was Susan Atkins and also Patricia Krenwinkel. Now, and then Linda Kasabian was driving, but Linda Kasabian did not take part in the murders. So they all got to Cielo Drive, which is the very posh neighborhood of Beverly Hills. They cut the telephone wire, they climbed over, and they brutally murdered everybody there, including the very gorgeous and 8 months pregnant actress Sharon Tate and four other people. The other people were her friends. J.C. Bring, the celebrity hairdresser, who was a pal and a former boyfriend of Sharon. Wojtek Frykowski, who was a Polish friend of Sharon's husband, Roman Polanski, and Frykowski's girlfriend, who was the Gibby Abigail Folger, who was the heir to the coffee fortune. And one other poor guy, an 18-year-old guy called Stephen Perrin, who was in a car in the wrong place at the wrong time.
When I watched the movie, have you seen it, by the way, Once Upon a Time?
I have seen it. Okay. I have seen it. I thought it was engrossing. I thought it captured 1969 perfectly, the music and the performances by Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, I thought were terrific. What did you think?
I agree with you. And I thought that Margot Robbie's performance was amazing as Sharon Tate.
She was Sharon Tate. She was a doll. She was a little bit Barbie doll. She was a sweet, innocent young actress, and that was the way she was back then, because I had interviewed her a year before she was murdered when she was on the movie Valley of the Dolls. So that was the way she was, and in fact, well, as I say, I don't want to go too much into the film, and neither do you, but she's perfect as Sharon.
The book is called Manson Exposed, The Reporter's 50-Year Journey into Madness and Murder. And Ivor Davis is with me. He's the author. He's covered this from day one, still covering the horrific Manson murders 50 years ago today. The LaBianco murders are something that don't get as much attention. They weren't even mentioned in the movie. But here's this nice Italian couple minding their own business. And what happened to them?
The next day, Charles Manson, after not being too happy with the mess that his acolytes had made at the Sharon Tate house, said, "I'm going to take you along to a house, and I'm going to show you how to do it." Well, to be honest with you, it was a totally random choice, the LaBiancas. The only knowledge that Manson knew was that he'd been to parties at a friend's house three doors away from the LaBiancas, so he knew the area. And when he got to the house, he got out, he went in, he tied up the LaBiancas and told them, "Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you." He came out and he told Leslie Van Houten, he told Krenwinkel, and he told Charles Tex Watson to go into the house. "You know what to do, kill them, leave messages." And they went in and they committed this series of terrible murders. Manson drove off, and the murderers hitchhiked back to the movie Spahn Ranch in Chatsworth, California. I mean, it's a bit crazy, isn't it?
It's very crazy, and it seems there's so much craziness around them. I mean, one of the followers who was probably one of the scariest in the movie, by the way, the Tarantino movie, Squeaky Fromm, who would later try to assassinate President Gerald Ford.
Yes, and before she tried to assassinate Gerald Ford, she actually met me in the courtroom, just outside the courtroom, on the first day of the trial, and she knew that I was not pro-Manson. She knew I'd written a very quick book about the Manson family's madness, and she sweetly came up to me and said, "Hey, Ivor, do you know what it feels like to have a sharp knife slipped down your throat?"
No.
Well, to be honest with you, it was a threat, and I rushed home. I told my wife to leave the house with my one-year-old daughter, and they stayed somewhere else because the Manson family, who were not in jail, were still capable of violence. I knew it, and in fact, they did do violent things to people, but they weren't in jail. That was my association with Squeaky, who, as you said, is in the film. And by the way, I must tell you this. The Spahn Ranch, where I spent 3 days talking to Manson family members, was brilliantly captured by Tarantino in the film. Isn't it an eerie sort of Village of the Damned place?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, well said. Village of the Damned, and it seemed so what you'd expect where the Manson family would live. It was almost perfect in the sense of, I didn't know that. I watched it and I went, that makes perfect sense. And I looked at pictures online, and boy, he really nailed it in terms of his portrayal.
He did. I mean, didn't you think? I mean, it was creepy, wasn't it? I mean, one of the lead characters goes to the ranch. Oh my God. You shudder a bit with almost horror.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great way to put it. You're just waiting for something to happen, and also the scene at the beginning of the movie where the Manson girls are walking around, they're going through garbage, and they're all singing that creepy song that Charles Manson actually wrote in real life.
Yes, I mean, I think it was called "Cease to Exist," or something like that, and they changed, and he gave it to Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys, who was a pal of Manson. And Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys took that song and changed the name and never gave Charles Manson credit. But yes, what I learned, and you saw it, was they got food by diving in dumpsters at supermarkets to get food that had been thrown away, and they ate very well that way. And in the movie, it depicts that exceptionally well of them. It sounds awful, but they got good food and they ate well, believe it or not.
It is insane. And the fact that Manson was a singer, not something people realize, and that's kind of the reason why these murders happened, right? There's a connection with all this, with Charles Manson being the failed, aspiring performance artist.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it this week because I've been thinking about it a lot. And here's the truth, and here's what I think. I think that if Charles Manson had become a rock and roll star as he so desperately wanted to be, there would never be any murders. He would have been a bit happy to be adopted by the rock and roll crowd. But the real reason, and I didn't answer it for you, the real reason, in my opinion, that Charles Manson sent out his killers on those two nights in August 1969 was he wanted to cover up on a different murder that happened July 27, 1969, which was done by a friend of his called Bobby Beausoleil. And Bobby Beausoleil was a musician, and Bobby Beausoleil stupidly got himself arrested for the murder of Gary Hinman, a musician in Topanga Canyon, California, in July, and was facing the death penalty. And Manson, who'd sent him to kill him, and felt guilty. So Manson, I know it sounds weird, Manson then sent out the family members to kill on those two nights to make it look like that the killers were still at large, and the cops would come along, see what happened, and say, hey, Bobby Beausoleil is in prison, but he's the wrong guy. We'll let him go out. We'll set him free. And that was Manson's bizarre thinking in a warped mind.
It's amazing. The book is Manson Exposed, a reporter's 50-year journey into madness and murder. Ivor's with me. Ivor's the author, and he's been following this, Ivor Davis, since the day it happened 50 years ago today. The house itself. I remember when I was a kid, my dad took me and my brother to Los Angeles. And that was one of the stops. You know, you had to kind of see the house. But it's gone now, and it's had a series of owners over the years. Trent Reznor used to live there.
And Trent Reznor had a recording studio there. Would you believe? But as you said, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't mean to, but you're exactly right. What happened was the new owner bought it, and he tore the place down, built a completely new house because I mean the house was of memories, of horrible memories. A completely new house, and they changed the address of the house.
So it's no longer the, what was it, 10,050 was the address,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, correct, yes. No longer that number, and I forget what the number is, but it's a new
house.
It
was probably a tourist attraction, right? People would probably go there to see it all the time.
Oh, my God. Listen, I mean, you said you drove by. I mean, every day it used to draw hundreds of visitors, and the street didn't like it. And then, of course, there's a tour company called Dearly Departed, that takes people every day past the house. So, it, you know, even though the number has been changed and the house is different, tourists still love to see the scene of this carnage.
Why did Warren Beatty, actor Warren Beatty, turn down the offer to live in the house?
Well, here's what happened. Roman moved into this large house. Roman Polanski was the husband of Sharon Tate, and who was in London at the time of his pregnant wife's murder. They were very close, and Warren lived in the penthouse at the Beverly Regent Hotel in Beverly Hills. They were very close, and Warren was asked if he would like to share the house. Now, Warren, to be honest with you, had many romances, and I think that was really the reason that he decided he would not get the privacy. But he walked through the house, and he said, Roman, thanks very much indeed, but you know, I think it's a great house, but I think I'm going to stay where I am in my penthouse in the hotel. So, because he wanted Warren to move into the house, but Warren said, luckily, no.
Amazing. And were the, that guy, Charles Tex Watson, chilling, and the creepy women who were there that night, it seems like Charles Manson gets all the attention, obviously, over the years, and he's the one who in culture and everything else is the one you remember. But man, I mean, Ivor, these people who did the killings for him, these are some very, very, very evil people. Am I right?
Yes, I mean Susan Atkins. A lot of them, the ones in jail now, like Leslie Van Houten, who wasn't involved in the Sharon Tate case, and Patricia Krenwinkle, have all become model prisoners, perfect prisoners. They want parole. They've been denied all along, and they will probably be denied for the rest of their lives. But Charles Tex Watson was a young, handsome movie star looked like a movie star actor. But he went out, and he was the most savage perpetrator of the murders. I mean, he killed everybody, and of course, he was high on drugs at the time. I have no doubt. And now he's still in jail, and he's obviously trying to get parole, but he will never get out. Not in those circumstances. But they all obeyed Manson like he was God. although he said he was Jesus Christ.
And recently, California Governor Gavin Newsom denied parole to one of the Manson family members, right?
Yeah, what happens is Leslie Van Houten, who's a model prisoner and was only 19 at the time of the murders, was given parole by the parole board. But, and this is the but, each time a governor in California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the actor, Jerry Brown, the governor, and the Gavin Newsom, as you pointed out, have said, no, we deny the parole board's request for freedom. So she's still in jail, and she is still trying.
Well, listen, I just bought your book on Amazon as we were talking. I can't wait to read it. Manson exposed a reporter's 50-year journey into madness and murder. Ivor Davis, who's covered this from 50 years ago today until right now, even threatened by the Manson family. They threatened to kill him. Amazing stuff, sir. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for your time, Rich.
Now, the question then, of course, becomes, did we learn any lessons from all the attention we've given Charles Manson over the years? Too late to put the toothpaste back in the jar on this one. But going forward, can we learn from this and figure out maybe the idea is not to glorify these people in such a way going forward? These shooters, for example, like over the weekend.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.